Recently, a jury convicted former Penn State University assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky of 45 counts relating to the sexual abuse of children. Following that conviction, former FBI Director Louis Free issued a report condemning Penn State, accusing four officials, including the late head coach Joe Paterno, of turning a blind eye to Sandusky's crimes in order to preserve the reputation of the football team and the university. Two of those individuals have been charged with perjury and failing to report suspected child abuse crimes. However, the criminal law is not a particularly useful tool to get at the one suspect many accuse of perpetrating these heinous crimes, Penn State University, particularly the athletics department. Penn State met its judge and jury last week, the National Collegiate Athletics Association. The NCAA promulgates regulations that its member schools and their sports programs must adhere to, and then establishes penalties for violators. Generally, these rules pertain to activities that might allow for one school's athletic program to gain an unfair advantage over another, either on the playing field or in the recruitment of student athletes. The most memorable NCAA sanction is the 1987 imposition of the so-called death penalty against Southern Methodist University's football team for allowing boosters to pay $61,000 to various players over a number of years. The NCAA canceled SMU's 1987 season and all of its 1988 home games and stripped the program of 55 scholarships over 4 years. The death penalty resulted not only in crippling SMU's football program, but arguably also in destroying the Southwest Conference. Many commentators doubted that the NCAA would ever give another team the death penalty. Until now. Critics have argued that because allowing Sandusky's heinous acts to continue was obviously worse than letting college kids receive a few thousand dollars, Penn State deserves the death penalty. However, some have argued that NCAA rules are not designed to punish schools for criminal behavior unrelated to giving a team an unfair advantage. Though NCAA bylaws state that individuals shall act with honesty and sportsmanship at all times, critics argue that these exhortations are confined to the playing field and recruiting field. Sandusky's acts did not result in recruiting better athletes, though disclosure of those acts would have hurt recruiting. Ultimately, the NCAA stated that Penn State engaged in deceitful and dishonest behavior and issued what it called a penalty harsher than the death penalty. In addition to a $60 million fine, Penn State will lose 40 scholarships over 4 years and is banned from bowl games, including conference championships, for 4 years. In addition, the NCAA will strip Penn State of its last 112 wins, ensuring Paterno will no longer be the most winningest coach ever. Penn State agreed to these sanctions over outcries from former players and the Paterno family. On the one hand, the NCAA is able to effectively punish Penn State, the institution, in a way that the criminal law cannot. However, does treating Penn State the same way we treat teams that allow athletes to receive limo rides from agents or trade autographed jerseys for cash send a bizarre message? Aiding and abetting child abuse is categorically different from committing recruiting violations. It is categorically worse. The University of Miami is still awaiting word from the NCAA relating to accusations in 2011 of improprieties ranging from cash payouts to entertainment to performance bonuses for football players. What if the penalty for Miami is the same as for Penn State? What if it's worse? This is Christine Hurt.